Today on Real Radio.
The Bible says in Galatians 3:22 that the scriptures have concluded that all are under sin. And you say, well, man, Jack, lift me up a little bit. Will you help me out here? Well, this is the beautiful thing about it is God knew, God knows of our condition, and he doesn't leave us there.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? If there were a short list of soul-searching questions, how do we get from here to heaven? It has to rank somewhere in the top five, wouldn't you say? Why? Well, simple. We're all going to face death at some point, should the Lord tarry. In fact, this is just one reason why Pastor Jack has decided to make this an extended topical series. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing his series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven?
A good school is a school that will allow you to question the teachers or the professors. A good school will allow you to say, excuse me, you just said this about what and about the other? I have a question about that. We have lost in our culture, in our society, the art of critical thinking. I don't mean critical like, hey man, you know what, you smell. I don't mean that kind of critical. I'm talking about critical thinking where, how come, why, how does that work, and I'm not sure if I believe that. Can you help me through this? And what makes you think it's true? The place of argument, the place of debate, that's what I tell you, on Wednesday nights I love, because many of you, and I understand this, you got kids over there and you got to get the kids out of here and all that kind of stuff and you got to get home for school and for work tomorrow. But so many people, predominantly young people, hang out Wednesday night here after service, talking, debating, going forth, arguing the way the right word to define arguing should be. And then they go over to Starbucks or wherever and they continue it on. That's a good thing. We need to do more and more of that. But check this out. God wants you and I to question, to ask questions, to wonder, to get the answers to this amazing doctrine of salvation. So here it is. What is salvation according to the scriptures? The Greek word for the word salvation is soteriology, which is the study of salvation, the science of what the Bible has to say about it. And it simply means this. The Greek word means to rescue or to bring to safety, or here's the word that we use a lot, to save out of peril or danger. As Christians, we are very guilty of a very, very naughty thing. And that is, after about a year of being a Christian, we start talking Christianese. Christianese. And to the world, it might as well be Chinese, because it's like, what? And we see things like this. Oh man, he's saved. Oh yeah, my friend of mine, he got saved last week. And the world's going, where was he? Honestly, remember, you guys, we've been Christians too long in our head. Okay? Well, did he fall in the pool? Was he lost at sea? They don't know what we're talking about. But we start talking Christianese. You know, our car blows up. Hey, praise the Lord. What are you, nuts? They don't understand us. And I don't blame them for not understanding us. Well, I'm just resting in the Lord. What does that mean to a non-believer? Waiting on Christ, just waiting on the Lord. You guys, it freaks them out enough when we say to them, just going to pray about it. We need to be careful. We need to understand something. Yes, he saves us. Salvation is him saving us. But we need to be careful. Now, in our context, we can talk about it. But saving means what? To be rescued. We ought to start talking about Jesus rescued me. Maybe the world would say, from what? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Then we can tell them. But they hear this word saved. Although it is true, he rescues us, he saves us, he brings us to safety. In an act of God to rescue, those who are in peril, the word means. To bring to safety those who are doomed. The intervention of the Savior to save those who are lost or those who are in need of rescue. G. Campbell Morgan says, saviorhood and salvation cannot be separated. since it is the role of a Savior to save, and a Savior is one who rescues another or others from a dangerous or threatening situation. Listen to this. So then, salvation, in its basic definition, means to be rescued from some calamity or other dire situation. The Bible uses this term in a specific way to refer to ultimate redemption from sin and reconciliation to God. In this context, then salvation is from the ultimate calamity of the judgment of God. It is Jesus Christ the Savior who, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, delivers us from all wrath to come. And all God's people said, amen. Man, that's good news. In 1 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. That's him for us. That he might bring us to God, that's that word rescue, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. This is kind of fun. Will you write this down? Act like it excites you, because it really blessed me today to discover this, because I didn't read it in a book. I actually found it myself. First written appearance of salvation in the Scriptures, the word, is Genesis 49:18, and it says there, I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. That's the first written reference or announcement of salvation. By the way, you may remember this from Sunday, but that salvation is Yeshua, meaning something or someone being saved or delivered or rescued. And then the first act of salvation might shock you. The first act of salvation is found in Genesis 3:21. Also, both Adam and Eve, the Lord God did make coverings of animal skin, and he clothed them. An animal had to give its life to provide its skin for the covering of Adam and Eve's sins. Salvation. It's an amazing thing that only, by the way, after the fall, did Adam and Eve know or feel that they were naked. Isn't that interesting? They were naked. The Bible says God made them, they were naked. Now, I love what the ancient rabbis taught. The ancient rabbis taught that Adam and Eve, based upon some ancient Hebrew thinking, and maybe it's true. It sounds good to me. In fact, I'm going to believe it. It says that they believe that Adam and Eve in the garden walked in light, that they were somehow clothed or wrapped in light. They were naked, but they were not, they weren't exposed. Good word, thanks. Why don't you come up here and then come down? They were not exposed. They were clothed in light, which is cool because the Bible says that we are to walk in the light as he, what? Is in the light. And if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. How cool is that? So when they sinned, Adam and Eve, their light bulb, man, you are naked. Oh yeah, you're pretty naked yourself. And God took an animal and clothed them with the life, as it were, of that animal. Amazing. So that's vitally important. The very, very concept of salvation is awesome altogether. Because what salvation is God announcing to us the truth, my friend. Be honest. People, listen, people, they don't like to hear this. And yet they're running away from the very, very thing that will set them free forever. And that is God provided salvation to set us free from the grip of sin, which is native to who we are. It's native to who we are. S-I-N, positive in our spiritual DNA. We are sick with sin. Nobody wants to hear that because it's true. People want to just say, you know what? You're going to upset me. How can you say that? Somebody should make a UN resolution that should be against the law. Don't worry, they're working on it. But it's true. As I said before, you don't teach your little kids to steal. Now look, Junior, you're walking now. You're doing great. As soon as you can, I want you to start just picking all the pockets of your uncles and aunts and go through your grandma's purse and steal stuff. You don't tell your little kid that. You got to tell the little stinker not to steal. What are you doing? Right? They lie. You don't tell. Now look, when your mom makes the cookies, sets them out there, and when she says, don't eat those cookies, you just say, I'm not going to eat them. And then go eat them. And then when she asks you, did you eat them? Now get this down. Don't blow it. I hope you can get this. You tell her you didn't eat them. No parent tells their kid that. Why? They do it naturally. They got crumbs on their face. They've wiped the crumbs on their clothes. Did you eat those cookies? I didn't see any cookies. They lie, 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 lie. They're cute as a button, but they lie like the devil. It's in our DNA. And people who don't want to face that go, I can't believe that. That's just so mean. Oh, you know what? Grow up. It's true. It is true. And the only way that we're going to get out of this thing is understanding that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. Salvation is precious. It's God's work toward us in that the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Salvation is of God. We'll see more of that as we get going. Second thing is this, why is salvation important? Why is it so important? The Bible's not shy to admit this, and it's very, very true. Why is it important? Because Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to repay everyone according to his works, according to the fruit of his doing. Wow, that's powerful. Listen to this. Salvation, from start to finish, the Bible teaches is the Lord's work. In the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verse 9, it says that salvation is of the Lord. Did you know that? You know what? For me personally, now, it may be different for you, but when I read that in the Bible, after being a Christian for 30 plus years, I read that and it says salvation is of the Lord. I just go, yes. Do you remember, you guys remember that Nescafe or Nestea? Remember the Nestea plunge back in 1865 or whenever that was? Remember that guy standing on the edge of the pool? It's like a hot, blistering day, and he just falls into this ice, cool, wonderful pool, whatever. Man, when I read that salvation is of the Lord, I just say, yes. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, so very much. The Bible says in Galatians 3:22 that the scriptures have concluded that all are under sin. And you say, well, man, Jack, lift me up a little bit. Will you help me out here? Well, this is the beautiful thing about it is God knew, God knows of our condition, and he doesn't leave us there. What a wonderful parent he is to us. Salvation is that reaching down of the Lord, that coming down, as it were, God stepping into humanity and rescuing us. What an amazing thing. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. It's of God. Why is it so important? Because it takes us, listen, it takes us from one world and places us into another. And it takes us from one world, by the way, and puts us into a world that is completely undeserving of us and for us. You guys, maybe you have made a mission trip somewhere. Maybe you've taken a weekend trip down to Tijuana, maybe, perhaps, or some of the cities down in Mexico, very poor. People have been ravaged by poverty. And I remember when we first went to Russia and the wall, the communists have lost power. The wall was just coming down and we found ourselves in a matter of months standing in Red Square and trafficking around Moscow in St. Petersburg, Russia, in the poverty. It was so tragic to see people so in need. And here you are as a Westerner. And back in those days, the American dollar was worth something, for real. And we were standing there. The poorest person on our team was rich. We had full-blown shoes on and clothes and change of shirts every day. And there were people that we saw every day. And some people begging. They were dignified, but they're begging. They were so embarrassed. And you give them some money, and they're like, what? And you say, what does that have to do with anything? You know what? I felt like we were little rescuers from God. It's like we stepped out of a spaceship and we gave people actually money. And we even told them as part of our little salvation hook, to be honest with you, come with us. We'll buy you a Big Mac. What? They never had a hamburger before. Never. And it's so cute. You guys, they'd pick up the burger and they would take the littlest bite and they would set it down. And they would chew it. Oh, my goodness. Makes me want to cry. Incredible. God steps out of heaven to earth. He goes from ultimate rich to the poverty. You say, well, what's so bad about the world? When you're God and you step into this thing, that's a big deal. And he did it for us. It's so vitally important that the Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16 that without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. that God was manifested in the flesh. That's him stepping down. In John 8:42, the Bible says that in Jesus speaking, proceeded forth. He says, I proceeded forth and came from the Father, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why is salvation important? Because, my friend, there's no hope without salvation. There's no hope. There's no meaning. There's no future without salvation. Also, questioning God's salvation means this: what am I saved from? This is a very important thing, even in our evangelism. What are we saved from? What are we really? You know, we kind of get this mindset sometimes, well, things are kind of cool, things are kind of okay, but when I get to heaven, things are going to be really cool, and things are going to be really okay. Well, it's more than that. What are you and I saved from? Yeah, why did I need to accept Jesus anyway? What's the big deal? Well, this is a huge question with a bigger answer. Well, obviously, we're saved from hell. And that right there is enough. According to the Bible, for those who will be close to that period of time, the Bible promises that those believers will be saved from the great tribulation period. That's promised in Scripture. Saved from damnation. Saved from condemnation. Saved from judgment. Saved from sin, evil, Satan. In one word, you could say death. All of those things accompany death, which is a good reason why in Hebrews 2:14, this is a great verse, in Hebrews 2:14 and 15, it says, since the children have flesh, I love this. Listen to the tenderness of this. Since the children have flesh and blood, he also shared in our humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free all those who are, all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. And I want to talk about that for a second. What am I saved from? All that stuff and more, but let's just put it all in one bucket called death. Jesus died in our place to take our judgment. You need to understand that. What am I saved from? The judgment of God. Did you know that if you're a believer tonight, God is not ever going to look at you and say, or scowl when he looks at you? He's not going to, man, you should be glad you're here, Jack. You barely got in. He's not like that. He's not of that spirit. In fact, if he were to do that, it would insult the very person of Jesus. That's how cool it is. It will not happen because, first of all, it can't. But even if it could, it wouldn't, because it would be the Father insulting the work of the Son. But the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And that's my Savior. That's my Lord. That's my King. That's my God. So what are we saved from? I love it. In a nutshell, death.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson that answers the question, how do we get from here to heaven? In fact, what we heard today is just a portion of part 5 in this series. Again, the title is, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, because it's Friday, it's time for another edition of Ask Pastor Jack. Thanks for coming down today. I actually kind of dragged you in here.
Yep.
Came down to your door and said, let's go. The studio's open. And I appreciate you being here, as the listeners really enjoy this segment. All right, this one comes from DB. He says, Pastor Jack, how old is the earth? What scientists say seems to conflict with what the Bible says by a long shot. They say billions of years. What does the Bible say?
Yeah, well, first of all, I have no idea how old the earth is, and nobody else does either. The guys that are saying it's 100 bazillion years old, it's kind of interesting because they have to have that number because they're also talking to the astronomers down the street.
Right.
And the astronomers are saying, we need a lot of numbers. We need a lot of time because we've got to figure this out. It's actually a shot in the dark. But you might say, well, you know what? They've done, you know, carbon dating on a rib and found out it's really super old. And people will use that as a criteria. What's interesting, in fact, just here in Southern California, not too long ago, they took a rib off the beach, of an animal. They it turned out to be a seal, and it was 2,000 years old. The problem was the seal had died this summer. What happened? What happened was in the dating process, sand and earth and material permeated and marinated into the bone and into the fiber of the bone. And when the carbon dating took place, the bone was declared to be 2,000 years old. Well, it was the trace elements inside
that
bone.
It was the dirt.
It was the dirt. Here's what I'm saying is this. Nobody knows how old it is. Nobody. No matter what they tell you, they don't know. The other thing that you want to keep in mind is that God said, I created. So you want to start there. God said, I did this. Uh-huh. So you want to look around the world and ask, does the world I observe show signs of intelligent engineering, a brilliant mind behind it all? The answer quickly is going to be yes. When you look at the claims of the Bible, all right, and look at science, I'm talking true science, real, reproducible, predictable science applied, then you've come to the conclusion that God exists.
Right.
When you don't want to accept the existence of God, then you've got to manipulate the data. You've got to play with the numbers. And
yeah.
Then finally, I want to say this. My background is in biomedical engineering. And the company I worked for, but when we developed a product, one of the things that we had to do was to put it through an environmental study.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about trees and grass and the water. I'm talking about we would take our product that we've engineered, we would put it into an environmental chamber.
Okay.
And we would have to age it. And we aged it this way. You would set a temperature and you would set a moisture. And that device, let's say it's made out of plastic or urethane or something like that. You would put it in this chamber and set it for 25 years.
Okay.
What would it look like in 25 years? You would set the temperature, you would set the humidity. And during the duration, it might run for 2 months.
Okay.
2 months at those settings equals 25 years. We would pull it out and then see if it's going to be worthy of being placed inside of a human being or used as this medical device, okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's called an environmental chamber. Isn't it interesting that we're trying to figure out how old the earth is, and yet the Bible tells us in numerous places that it's been subject to judgment? That I believe that when Adam and Eve showed up on the scene, that there's things built into the earth that cause it to look older or act older, when in fact, because of judgment, because of things applied by God, it has affected our way and our technology to age it or to look at its age.
Interesting.
Example, Mount St. Helens exploded.
Right.
Within 6 months of Mount St. Helens exploding in Spirit Lake, we had petrified pine trees in that lake that we thought previously took thousands of years to do. It was done in a matter of months.
Really?
The Grand Canyon. There's now data coming out of the Grand Canyon that it may not have been made over billions of years. It may have been made very quickly. Think
really?
Of this for a moment. In light of the flood, did the flood take place? Well, the Bible says it did.
Mm-hmm.
Science says it did.
Okay.
There's fossil shells in some of the highest mountain ranges of the world from the sea creatures.
Fish.
From fish and crustaceans and all. Listen, this is amazing because the earth has gone through its upheavals and through its trauma, both by vulcanization and by God's judgment. We don't know how old the earth is exactly. We can't tell because it's been subject to judgment. It's been sold, as the Bible tells us, under sin or into sin. So I would go with the Bible. It agrees with science. And just because someone says, no, 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 science contradicts what the Bible has to say, no, 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 you're looking at an age that you're doing the best you can to get it, but it's rigged by the time you even look at it. Things have happened that already set this age like an environmental chamber. It's happened in a relatively quick period of time because it was subject to elements and environments that we would call judgment.
Thanks, Pastor Jack. Listen, if you'd like to ask Pastor Jack, email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Ask your question, and we'll do our best to get Pastor Jack to answer it on the air for you. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.